Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today, we are talking with Bonnie Fisher and Kelly Huckstein about Scandinavian food traditions and the upcoming Midsummer Festival. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you both here.
Well, we typically start this part of our show having you tell us a little bit about how you ended up on the North Coast. And since we were talking a little to Bonnie beforehand, we realized you've always been here. So tell us a little about
permanent
that.
Fixture.
And yeah. Tell us about your family, too.
My folks owned a dairy farm out on Highway 202 up until the early 70s. So we as kids were raised on the dairy farm. I left here to go to college for 4 years and lived 1 year in Klamath Falls and moved back here in the fall of 72. My husband became the automotive instructor at the college and have been here ever since.
That's so great.
And were your parents the ones who moved here, or were your grandparents?
Grandparents. My parents were both born here. Dad was born in the house that's on the farm, and which has been in the family for over 100 years. It's a century farm.
That is amazing.
And mom was born up at the end of Labiskie Road.
And what were your families from? What were the traditions? So your maiden name is?
My maiden name is Henningsen. Yeah. And my dad was Danish and Norwegian. And my mom is, or was, Swedish-German.
So you're a little bit of everything.
You're just
missing
can't
the fin.
Can't finish.
I know.
And Kelly, I know you too have a long history. Your family does here.
Yeah, my great-grandpa moved here from Norway and built a house and, you know, got active in the Sons of Norway Lodge. And my grandparents stayed active in the lodge and in the Scandinavian Festival, and my parents did. And I, even though I didn't grow up here, I came every summer and went to festival every summer.
And you went to camp, didn't
yeah,
you, too?
Yeah, the Sons of Norway has a language camp for elementary school kids just to learn language and dances and, you know, all kinds of things, history, culture.
So from even when you were a little wee child, you were learning all of that?
And yeah, it's definitely been part of our family tradition.
And you told me on the drive over that both your mother and your sister were?
Yeah, we're Miss Norway in the Scandinavian Festival throughout years, obviously.
I saw their picture up at the Norwegian.
At the lodge, yeah.
It was so cool.
And how long has the Scandinavian Festival been going on? It's been around for quite a
this
while, isn't it?
This is our 46th or 47th year.
Oh,
that is an amazing tradition.
And I want to hear, Kelly, what is your Scandinavian names in your background?
It's Thorsnes.
Thorsnes.
The Norwegian name, yeah. Which is the name of the farm that my great grandpa came from in Norway. So
a particular region in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Scandinavian Festival, there's is it four major groups that participate? So it's Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and Norway,
and Iceland.
So there's five. Right. So it's those five groups that all have heritage here on the North Coast.
Right. Icelandic is pretty sparse. We are always looking for people with Icelandic background. We haven't had an Icelandic princess for a long time, and we're hoping.
Yeah.
So each of the like Scandinavian, what would you call that?
The lodge is each.
Yeah.
So there's a lodge associated with each ethnic
and
group.
And each lodge chooses their princess, and then the festival then takes it from there once they've chosen them.
So you have, and what's the process? I mean, how do people sign up to be possibly chosen as a princess? Or
I don't know how the Norwegian Lodge does it. Our the Swedish Lodge kind of looks at girls' ages and offers it to them. Some years you have three or four and you have to make a choice. Some years there's only, you know, one. They like to do it usually their junior year in high school, because their senior year gets pretty busy, so they like to do it their junior year.
And there's also a junior miss of each country, too. So there's the senior miss that would be crowned, you know, the queen, uh-huh. and then there's their little junior misses as well.
Oh,
so there's
so a great
age range that you can be involved in it.
So it seems like one of the cool things about this festival and what ties a lot of these traditions together is the food that's on offer there, which is what we're excited about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really fascinating when you look at cultures like this. And so immigrants coming from Europe and bringing with them their traditions. And this seems like such a strong way for cultures to maintain a sense of identity mm-hmm. and to pass traditions down through the generations. Because, Kelly, you're just in your late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and yet you know a heck of a lot about making lefse, which I really want to talk about, because I didn't even know what lefse was. And I didn't know that there were multiple kinds of lefse and, you know, who makes what, and there's different traditions. And so let's talk lefse, because that's a big thing that the Norwegian Lodge mm-hmm. does, right?
Yeah. So we sell flower lefse at the festival as kind of the main fundraiser for the lodge. It's called Hardanger lefse, which is Hardanger is the region in Norway, and it's a flour one. It's a sweet one. It's a snack.
It's a bread.
It's a big flat bread. It's basically like a when you make it, you roll it out like a giant tortilla, and then you cook it on a griddle. And it gets hard because you're cooking out the moisture. And that way it can be stored during the winter. They would make it and then store it all winter and use it throughout the winter. And when you want to use it, you wet it again so then it gets soft. And then you can fill it with various things and either roll it up or fold it up. So the flour one that we make is usually for sweet fillings. At the festival, we fill it with butter, sugar, and cinnamon. And then there's a potato lefse that uses potatoes instead of flour, although sometimes some of the recipes use a little flour as well. And that's more of a like sandwich, you know, filling
savory
mm-hmm. Version, which the Daughters of Norway Lodge does that at yeah. the festival.
Oh, okay.
As well.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering.
In our family, in my immediate family, we never ate potato lefse as a bread. Potato lefse was what you always, when you had mashed potatoes the night before, mm-hmm. you made extra always, and then you had it for breakfast in the morning. You mixed a cup of mashed potatoes, half a cup of flour, rolled it out flat, fried it on your pancake griddle, and served it with soft-boiled eggs on it. And that was Easter tradition always at our house. You always had that Easter morning.
Wait, so the potato pancake type thing, would you roll the eggs in it? Or would you
yeah.
So
yeah.
You'd
like a
you
crepe, almost.
So how thin do you roll it? Is it a pretty thin?
It's pretty thin.
Yeah, it's like it's a Scandinavian tortilla.
Like a tortilla.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. Uh-huh.
And in fact, I think Kelly and I were talking the other day about how you make your tortillas on your lefse.
On my lefse iron,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Because
sure.
It's the perfect size.
Yeah. And is this pretty much across all Scandinavian cultures, do you think? I mean,
yeah.
is this something that is in Denmark and...
I think lefse is a pretty, you know, or versions thereof is pretty common throughout Scandinavia.
Pretty common. I think
yeah.
so, too. Yeah.
Although it seems like the Norwegians really, it's really tagged as
right.
their
mm-hmm.
food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised because I went to the lefse making for the first time ever, and I haven't made lefse since I was a little girl, and all the cool things that have happened since, like putting a sock on the lefse roller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was smart.
Okay, wait, so back up. So every year, the Sons of Norway Lodge, this is the thing that you guys sell at the Scandinavian
mm-hmm.
Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this big, you don't just make this the day before.
No.
So
about a month before, we make the actual bread part of the lefse. It gets dried out and stored. And then the week of festival, we then wet it down and then do the buttering with the cinnamon and sugar so that it's ready to go for the festival.
And tell them how many you make.
Oh,
and Kelly's
thousands.
Eye is twitching as she says
thousands. I think I rolled 1,000. No,
it's
thousands.
A lot.
It's thousands.
A lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's quite the production. I mean, that mm-hmm. was what was so interesting is, and everybody seems to know their way around the whole
oh, yeah.
process.
And if you don't, you learn real quick.
Yeah.
So there's a group that there's somebody who makes the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a group who measures the dough into perfect little 3-ounce balls.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people who roll it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people who put it on the grill mm-hmm. so that it gets
dries
cooked
out, yeah.
and dries. And then there's mm-hmm. people who fold it, right? Or
well, then there's people that, yeah, pick that up and mm-hmm. lay it out and let it cool and dry the rest of the way. And then put it on storage racks until buttering.
It sounds crazy.
So, and then the
which
buttering.
Which is a whole other process.
Yeah, let's hear about the buttering.
Someone making the, you know, cinnamon sugar mixture. People are spreading the mixture on the lefse, and then you roll it up and have these little cutters that you make sure it's in the perfect squares. And, yeah, it's another production. And there's people putting it in the trays that we can sell. And
wow. I'm just curious, what are some of the other food traditions that are featured at the Scandinavian Festival? So that's what the Norwegian Lodge mm-hmm. does. So what is the Danish Lodge?
Danish do? Lodge does æbleskivers, which are round pancakes.
Delicious.
They're pancakes?
They're pancakes,
like
but
a
you
ball, like a
but they're in a ball.
It's how amazing. Do you cook them?
Oh, you have pans. A special pan.
Everybody has their special.
Very little. Specific. Okay.
They're
it
delicious.
It cooks maybe 7 or 8. I don't know. I've never counted how many it cooks. They now have electric ones.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, in Solvang, California, I saw the picture and they have big long ones
cool.
that they
wow.
cook outside.
Wow.
And then the Danish Lodge makes frikadeller, which is
I love that yeah. name too.
It's pork. It's ground pork. So it's a meatball, but uh-huh. it's made out of pork, and they serve it with red cabbage and rye bread.
And so is the red cabbage sort of like a sauerkrauty sort of red cabbage? Is it sweet and sour?
Yeah, it's kind mm-hmm. of a sweet and sour red cabbage. Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. And then the Swedish
Lodge does pea soup with bread.
I love pea soup.
And it's the yellow pea soup.
Oh, so nice. Is it like split peas?
Right.
Okay.
Right, but it's yellow. Uh-huh. It has ham in it and carrots and a little bit of celery. It's very good.
And that's pea soup is really associated with Sweden, isn't it? I mean, is that
it is. It mm-hmm. is. In fact, we have relatives still living in Sweden, and so I said to them when they were here, so what do you eat with pea soup? You know, mm-hmm. if you have pea soup for dinner. Well, they have pea soup and they have Swedish pancakes for dessert.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And Swedish pancakes are?
Are a lot like lefse or
no.
More like a crepe.
Like yeah,
a
fresh crepe.
We had
eggs.
Them at our house, but we called them Norwegian pancakes. Yeah. possibly. Yeah.
We had a foreign exchange student that stayed with a relative, and he came opening day hunting season to my folks to go hunting with dad, and mom made Swedish pancakes, and he goes, oh, I haven't had Danish pancakes since I left home. So it just
clearly
another one of those
yeah,
that
yeah.
goes across the borders.
Well, but it is really true. Like Kelly says, I know when I was growing up too that my Norwegian grandmother would make these little kind of not mean, but a little disparaging, like, oh, the Swedes, or, you know, and in truth, you know, it was very similar, and probably everybody comes from more or less the same bloodlines,
yeah.
but there is this kind of friendly rivalry. Yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Almost a sibling rivalry,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
It
well, is. And then you were talking about one other thing, is it the Finnish Lodge? Is it some fruit soup or something?
Oh, Finnish Lodge does a rice pudding fruit soup.
Okay, so that sounds kind of weird.
It's so good.
It is very good. The base is rice, and it's cooked in milk, so it's cooked a long time. And then I was trying to think what they put on it, but I think it's prunes and mm-hmm. currants.
A bunch of dried fruit that's cooked into
yeah,
like a sweet
sauce
food,
that
like
goes
sauce,
on the top of
yeah.
it.
I used to make myself sick on it when I was little.
It is very good.
It
is very good.
So you could just have the entire meal just grazing
yes.
throughout the festival,
yes.
doing all of that.
And then what about Iceland?
Well, if you haven't, have we, you, do yeah. you have
don't.
Any representation?
We don't have anyone.
Okay, so we need to find some Icelandic people.
Out.
Yes. Okay, we're calling out.
Yes.
If you have Icelandic heritage, come and do something at the Scandinavian Festival.
Right.
Want to know what your food traditions are.
Right.
So we are about halfway through the show, so we're going to take a little station break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you are just joining us, we're talking with Bonnie Fisher and Kelly Huckstein about Scandinavian food traditions and the upcoming midsummer summer festival. Mm-hmm. So what are the dates of the festival?
June 21st.
1st, 2nd, and
it's
23rd.
A Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Uh-huh.
Right. Friday it starts at 2. And then coronation's Friday night at 7. There's a dinner from 4:30 to 6:30, 4:30 to 7. A roast beef dinner being served. Booths are open.
By the Olney Grange.
By the Olney Grange, yes.
So Packy and I will be there serving too.
Scandinavian for
Not
the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I'll be like an adopted Scandinavian for
there
the weekend.
We go.
And then there's other dinners too. So
on Saturday, the Scandinavian Cafe does a very nice dinner. I don't know what their menu is this year. Traditionally, they've had meatballs and all the things that go with it, pickled fish, bread. Well, they've usually had some shrimp, pretty Scandinavian smorgasbord type meal. They also do Saturday morning breakfast, right?
Sunday morning, I think.
No, Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday morning.
Saturday.
And then they do Swedish pancakes and their traditional fish and that kind of stuff that they would have at a normal breakfast. Sunday morning is panakaku.
Panakaku.
Which also delicious.
Okay.
That's Hawaiian.
It's a Finnish dish. It is a baked egg dish. It's just good.
It's like a custard, kind of pancakey custard kind of thing.
And that's Sunday morning.
And that's Sunday morning.
Okay, so I have to ask you guys, because I am not Scandinavian, and I moved to this area and quickly realized that there's a strong Scandinavian heritage here, and everybody talks about lutefisk. And I'm going to just come out in the open and say, I have no idea what this is, but quite frankly, I'm not sure I want to know because of the way people talk about it. So tell me what this is and sell me on this, because I don't know that I ever want to try it. It sounds so gross to me. Is it like a pickled fish? Is it preserved? Because, you know, I have a sad German heritage that requires me to eat pickled herring on New Year's Eve. And this has, like, traumatized me my entire life, because that's just so gross to me.
Oh,
so,
come on.
So
pickled herring is pickled. Delicious.
Yeah.
And it's tame compared to lutefisk.
Okay, so what's the fish origin? What fish are
it's
we talking
about?
Cod.
Mm-hmm. And okay. Lye.
And soaked in lye.
In lye?
Until it becomes gelatinous.
Wait, so lye is like something you make caustic. Soap out of. Yes. It's a caustic.
Yes.
And then you eat it?
Well, then it gets rinsed and, you know.
Soaked.
Yeah.
Wait, so the lye makes it gelatinous.
Mm-hmm.
Like jello.
Yeah, it kind of turns a little bit of a clearish.
Such a lovely color.
Or aspic. So it's like a beige. Are we talking beige?
No, pink. It's clear.
It's like clear.
It's
like
clear.
A jelly, like a jello.
And does it strengthen the fish flavor?
No, it's pretty mild tasting.
And then what, do you mold it?
No, it's just like a slab of fish. It looks like a, you know.
It looks like a piece of fish
but
that is clear and gelatinous.
And so what do you eat it with?
So
you're not making it sound super good to me, I gotta say.
The trick is to cook it correctly. You know, if you bake it, and we had it a couple years ago for Christmas, and my sister baked it, and, you know, she did a really good job, and we had it with, like, a butter sauce, and it kind of tastes like whatever sauce you put on it, so that's kind of the key.
So it's I think Mark was saying earlier, like, the Norwegian tofu. Which I'm not buying, by the way.
So you just, like, slice off a piece of it and have it with some, I'm assuming, rye bread or something like that, or
I think in the olden days, you would go to the fish market and you would buy the dried slab. Mm-hmm. Then you would take it home and you would do the whole process. I don't know that you can even do that here anymore. You buy it already, you know, by the pound. You go to the fish market and you can buy it by the pound.
So it's already processed into
It's already processed.
It's
already back
done to lie. Action has already happened.
Yeah.
So Bonnie, did there used to be like a Scandinavian grocery store or?
I think most of the grocery stores had it. Thompson's Fish Market used to. Hauke's always had it. In fact, Hauke's had, they served a lutefisk dinner up until the time they closed their store at Christmas time. I think most of your local stores, you know, we used to have a lot of little stores in Astoria, and most all of them would have it at Christmas time, especially.
Is it more of a Christmas tradition?
It's definitely focused on Christmas. Yeah. It's kind of traditional.
Because I have to ask you about one other thing, because at our last Grange meeting, Bonnie was talking about this, and it just sounded so weird to me, but also kind of compelling, and I really want to try this. It's the meat thing. Now, Rolla pulsa. Okay, so explain this.
Okay. Rolla pulsa is a...
Because this is really cool.
Ends up being a sandwich meat. And you start with a lamb flank, and you layer in this lamb flank.
So you kind of butterfly it or lay it out?
Yeah, you lay it out flat, kind of trim off any of the excess fat that you don't want on the inside. You don't want to cut it off on the outside, but on the inside you can. And then you strip it with, traditionally it was veal and pork. Veal's kind of hard to come by. And so when I make it, I don't use veal anymore. I use elk or deer. Something that's pretty lean. And you strip it one direction, put your spices on it, and I put onions on mine, and then you do it cross it the other direction.
So strips of meat the same going the way. Other way. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Put a little bit of saltpeter in it to keep
which
color.
Which is an explosive, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
This is like, what is it with you guys?
The last time I bought it, I had to go to a drugstore in Seaside to get it. Okay. I haven't tried to get it
saltpeter.
For a while.
Okay, this is awesome.
And then you fold it in half and you sew it up the sides, down the long side, and down the other end, and it makes it. My Uncle Elmer always said, it's got to be tight. Got to be tight. And so you would sew it with a blanket stitch.
Uh-huh. Okay.
With a heavy cotton thread. Uh-huh. Then it goes into a brine for 9 days. And then you take it out of the brine and you completely wrap it in string. You have to wrap it in something to hold it together. And we were taught you just use string. And so you wind all the string around it, boil it.
How long do you boil it for?
Mom used to always boil it about 3 hours.
Okay.
And then?
And then it comes out of there and it goes into a press.
Oh.
And it's when you press it, it becomes very thin, and then you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's served on your sandwich meat.
Because of all the layering, it has a kind of like marbled look to it when you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it at the Sons of Norway booth.
Oh, do you really?
On bread. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I have got
and
to
do
try
you make,
this.
Do you make it?
Or? Yeah, some people from the lodge make it every
year. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And your uncle used to make it, you said.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you could, you know, years ago, he would make it and sell it at the store.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, you can't do that now, but...
There's definitely people that get very excited and request mm-hmm. to buy whole, like, hunks of it to take home and...
Yeah.
You know,
it just sounds so cool.
It sounds
and
weird,
bizarre.
But once you try it, you're going to love
it. It does, but it also sounds really interesting to me. But part of me is fascinated that someone figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole brine it for 9 days, and boil it and wrap
I
it
think
and
part of it,
and
when
whoa.
You, yeah, and when you look back at all of the, you know, at a majority of the Scandinavian foods, it was because you used everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you butchered a cow, you used everything. And so these were the scraps of meat that you could use up into this.
Okay.
And the winters thing, were long. And
the lamb flanks weren't particularly good to use for anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here was a way to use that part of the lamb.
And does this last very long, or is it super perishable, or is it something that, is this another way of like preserving food, or it's a...
Well, it's brined, right? So, but then it's cooked.
Yeah, we always froze it if you didn't eat it all, although that was very seldom.
Yeah. It just
by the time
sounds
you
so
gave
awesome.
The neighbor one,
and
you know.
Well, so let's talk about the pastries, because those loomed large in my childhood. Yeah. There was all nature of amazing
cookies and
pastries.
Yeah.
Well, and you were talking about this too, that you had just gotten a cookbook, a Swedish cookbook or something, and we're looking through it. And I loved your comment. What was it that you said?
Well, it just struck me that even though it had a different name, it was the same thing that the Norwegians make. You just put a different name with it. And you might have a teeny little spice difference.
Yeah.
But essentially it's the same cookie.
But essentially it's the same cookie. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And
it's a lot of butter cookies.
And thinking of spices, I mean, there's a lot of cardamom used in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's actually typical of a lot of places, but that's a big Scandinavian spice.
And anise.
And anise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cinnamon? Or not so much? Oh, just thinking about your cinnamon.
Yeah,
sugar.
You use a lot in the lefse, but not...
Yeah, but not traditionally for cookies. Mm-hmm. It's more... anise is a big one, for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds so... So do people do pastries as well at Scandinavian Festival?
Yeah, some. I mean, there's like cookies.
Cookies
and we
for
do
sale.
Different, a couple different cookies at the Sun's booth. Kringla, which is a little like mm-hmm. pretzel-shaped kind of softer cookie that's anise flavored. And
krumkaka.
A couple booths do krumkaka, yeah. Uh-huh, which is like a cone-shaped right. cookie. Like it's like a ice cream cone, essentially, but, you know, that shape.
And then do you fill it with something, or you just eat it as a cone?
You can fill it. I've heard of people like filling it with whipped cream and that kind of thing, but we always just,
you just eat it plain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We make tons of it during the Christmas season. So,
yeah. Wow.
And so this is all held at the fairgrounds?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And about how many people attend? You have an idea of that? It sounds...
Well, you said you have an awful lot of volunteers mm-hmm. that help out with this.
You know, I should know numbers, but I...
A lot.
It's busy.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
busy.
It gets busy.
It is busy.
We can always use more people. So yeah. come out.
And then there's music too, right?
Yeah. Lots
heard
of
there's
music.
An
Lots
amazing
music and dancing.
Scandinavian group mm-hmm. that's coming this year.
They came a couple years ago, and they're amazing. Fiddle and traditional songs, and really good, yeah.
And so if people want to know more about this...
We have a website.
and the website is... And the brochures you probably could pick up downtown,
Finware,
right?
I know, has them, and I think they're around at other stores also. Website is Scanfest.
Scanfest.com.
If you look up Astoria Midsummer Festival, it'll come right up.
And there's different traditions you're doing every night. So like the first night is the...
The first night is coronation. And after coronation, then we have a bonfire. And we burn the hexes.
Which are like wooden things.
Hexes are straw dolls that the court usually puts together. Actually, they're going to put them together Tuesday night at 5:30. So if anybody wants to come and help them, that's great. We then will make garlands on that same night at 6:30 to do for decorating. And if anybody wants to come and help. The other thing is flowers. We decorate with a lot of flowers, so if people have flowers in their yard that they'd be willing to donate, they can call me or...
And maybe what's a good number?
503-325-1288, and we can have court pick them up on Thursday, mm-hmm. or they can bring them out to...
Yeah,
the fairgrounds.
Well, too. I know people's gardens are blooming so beautifully mm-hmm. now. So certainly, yeah, if you have extra and you want to donate them to decorate Scandinavian Festival, that would be great. Yeah,
that would be great. We decorate the Midsummer Pole,
Do you do a maple dance?
We do a Midsummer Pole. It's put up on Saturday, and it's very tall. It's kind of a fun event to see it happen.
And is there a lot of traditional clothing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Costumes, yes. Dancing. Yes.
People should come just to see Kelly in her costume because I hear it's awesome. But there are, yeah, everyone. So everyone's
good costumes
wearing too. Beautiful. I mean, the outfits right. are gorgeous
they
to
are.
See.
Mm-hmm. They are very good.
Really amazing. And then clearly you could just eat your way through the entire weekend trying something different.
You will not be hungry.
Every night. And I'm excited about this. I think I'm going to gain 10 pounds that weekend.
Yeah, and I think you can start at breakfast. Oh,
and then just go all the way through.
But you get a chance to exercise some too if you're not dancing.
At the troll run,
yeah.
Which is Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And are you actually chased by a troll?
The troll does run. I don't think he'll chase you necessarily, but he might kiss you. Ew. You get a little button that says, I've been kissed by a troll.
Okay, that's good. Well, I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be awesome, and I'm going to try that. Rollapulsa.
We'll get together
and lutefisk. Don't forget your lutefisk.
I am not promising to try the lutefisk, but I'm going to try the Rollapulsa. We'll start small.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on today's food talk.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Really enjoyed having you, and I just can't wait to go to the event.
I want to put out a few announcements. I know that last week, a couple of our local farmers markets, Manzanita and Long Beach, started. They're both Friday evening markets. And then this coming week on Tuesday, the Cannon Beach Farmers Market starts. That's from 2 to 5. And then on Thursdays, the River People Farmers Market in Astoria is starting, and that is from 3 to 6. In downtown Astoria. So definitely go out and enjoy some fresh local food. It's all starting to come and be harvested now. So it's a great time of year to be on the North Coast.
Thank you both so much. This show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org.
Thanks.